Monday, July 1st, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means sitting down and evaluating where you are as a player, as a better, travel. And that's exactly what I'm going to do here today. Solo show, just me. You're going to get just me for just a little bit. Probably a little shorter than most, but going to get through some things. I decided that with the beginning of the second half of 2021, with things starting to transition to normal, with casinos opening, sports in full force, I'm going to knock on wood because I'm seeing too much news about the variant, the Delta variant, possibly disrupting our maskless situation, but I decided this was a good time to finally evaluate where I am as a player, where I am as a bettor, start thinking about the second half of 2021, and sort of provide a state of the better life, both my life as a bettor and the better life as a brand. Now, I have a bunch of notes just sort of scribbled down. I haven't got an opportunity to truly organize these, but so this may just sort of be run of thought, but I'm going to get through as much of this as I can, as organized as I can. I'm going to start with Better Life as a brand. 1 year ago this week, I was making the transition from a co-hosted show to a solo hosted show, while also trying to determine how content was going to work for a summer without casinos or sports to bet on. I've told a handful of you this at meetups and on phone calls, stuff like this, but The Better Life lost about 30 to 35% of its listenership during that transition between the loss of my widely adored co-host and a pandemic that shook the gambling world with casino closures and sports not available. And I can confidently say, I'm happy to say that a year later, The Better Life has grown back to that watermark of where it was. And in that time, we've added live streams to the mix. And we live stream probably about, I'd say about what, up to half of the episodes that I record. We've added video. The Better Life is on YouTube, youtube.com/thebetterlife. And of course, short episodes on Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife. Thank you for everybody who supports me there. I'll be playing one of those short episodes towards the end of this episode. We tried Travel Better with Adam Bauer. Great, good initiative, bad judgment. In the sort of circumstances that we were still in, limits to travel, etc. But that concept has just been shelved away. It's been shelved and may come back because I do think there's potential there. I think that the gambling world and the travel world intersect in a way that is unique, and in the same way that I have put soccer betting in sort of its own lane now, sort of shifting, putting that at sort of in its own under its own umbrella, if you will. I think that there's definitely an audience that has an appetite for both for gambling and travel and how those things intersect. So Travel Better will likely be a thing probably sometime in the next year if I can get something organized enough. Looking forward, looking in the future for the podcast, weekly shows will continue. I have a nice routine down finally. Sometimes you know, the whole goal as a podcaster is to never truly be hand to mouth, right? Where you know, my goal is to not be recording the week that I'm releasing if I can. Sometimes that's not always possible, but I like to try to be, you know, a half a week ahead if when possible. You know, a great example is now how I'm recording this probably hours before I'm going to release it. So I'm doing a great job there. Better Viewing with Mark Duvall. We've gotten great feedback on that. I've absolutely loved doing those shows. I look forward to them every time. Everything from covering the gambling movies, like Hard Eight and Owning Mahoney, to finding little nuanced gambling references in my favorite shows like The Office and Rick and Morty. Doing that show with Mark is fun every month, and so long as he's willing to log on once a month and chat with me about it, we will continue doing that show. Shorts on Patreon just started, maybe a month ago. I'm enjoying those a lot. It's keeping me, it's forcing me to remember what I know about gambling, as I cover a different topic every week and sort of break that topic into five sort of discussion points. This week I'm talking about Pai Gal Poker, and it's actually been a great exercise for me as a gambler to be like, oh wait, what are my points on this again? Oh, that's right, that's something that I always like want to remind people, but you don't talk about every one of these topics every week on the show. It's nice to sort of dedicate a week to each one of them, so enjoying that. And then something I'm doing tomorrow that I'd like to continue to do in different forms. But as many of you know, July 2nd, I am celebrating my birthday with a brand growth / charity support of live stream event starting at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. We're kicking off with Eric Rosenthal, moving on to Scott Stratton. Then it'll either be Mark Duvall or Vinny Chenz, depending on how we get that, get the timing on that worked out. Follow me on Twitter. Well, the final schedule will be, tweeted out a couple times, between now and then. And then we got, who's rolling through after that? Oh yeah. One of those two, depending on how we work out that scheduling, then Michael Traeger, Cousin Vito, we'll round it off. Every viewer that I get on those live streams on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube, all at The Better Life, I'll donate $2 to charity. I'll be donating the same amount to two charities, the Las Vegas Rescue Mission and then Arlington Food Assistance Center here in my local area. That is something that I'd like to do quarterly. Not always a charity event, not always this sort of, hey, give me a follow and I'll do something good for people. But I think my very first stream that I did was a community event. We had Mark, we had Traeger, we had Vito. I think Adam showed up. And it was a lot of fun. And it got a lot of attention, and I know that people enjoy watching us interact with each other. And I think that for the good of this community, and this community being the Vegas and gambling podcast community, where that intersects, where it separates, however you want to look at it, I think it's good. I think it's good for us to interact in a lot of those ways. I think the community is in a really great place. It's not what it was when I joined, if I'm being completely honest. There was a lot of hype in this community when I joined. That's not to say that it's bleak. It's not to say that it's not fun. But the high watermark of the excitement in this community is still a little bit behind than it was even when I joined. And I know talking to other people that even before that, there was even a little more excitement and involvement there. But I think the community is in a really great place. And I think a really great indicator of that is you have these people, and we all know who they are, but we have a handful of people in this community who have recently had kids. Of course, that disrupts podcast creation, that disrupts content flow. But they're doing what they can when they can. And I think that is showing not only a love for this topic, but a love for this community, a love for content creation. I think it's a good sign that this community, both as people and as podcasters, and as at where those two where we meet, is in a good place and on its way to more exciting things. Now, of course, in the last 18 months, there hasn't been a whole lot to do. Hasn't always been good things to talk about. But the content is there. Sports betting content is blowing up because, you know, with state by state getting legalization. If you're looking for a podcast specifically on sports betting, a great recreational plus podcast is the Deep Dive podcast with Andy Molitor and Drew Dinsick. They've both been on the show, and I think they do a great job with that. Gambling content in general, specifically casino gaming, I still think that Mark and Dr. Mike, You Can Bet on That, hold the torch. They are quality week in and week out. There's no way that you listen to this show and you've never listened to that show. And if for some reason that's the case, please do yourself a favor and check out You Can Bet on That. I am just recently getting back into Vegas content. This is something I talked with 360 Mark at Vegas Vacation. In 2019, even like prior to the pandemic, Vegas news was not fun. Listening to Vegas opinion was not fun because Vegas had a lot of sort of had unpopular things going on, and it felt like every time I listened to a Vegas podcast, it was like, well, here's something that's happening out of Vegas and we're not crazy about it. You know, we don't like this is happening. We don't think this is going to be we don't think this is going to stick around. I don't have specific examples of a couple years ago, but I kind of just remembering the vibe around Vegas was not exciting. And I've just started recently listening to Vegas podcasts again this year, going into 2021, because I knew I was going to go to Vegas Vacation. Vegas was starting to reopen, and I think it was a nice opportunity for Vegas to become exciting again, for news in Vegas to be optimistic. And I think, you know, at the forefront of that is Circa. You know, they were sort of this exciting Vegas story even through a pandemic. But if you don't listen to any Vegas content, I recommend 360 Vegas podcast or 500 by Midnight. Those are two shows that I recommend there. I saw a couple people on Facebook, I believe, ask, hey, is Vice Lounge Online coming back? And this is just looking into our community as content creators. People are wondering about Vice Lounge Online. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Vice Lounge Online was a podcast hosted by Jason Gilligan and Tony Snyder a couple years ago. I guess it was a couple years ago, right? Tony Snyder stepped away to focus on 360. And the podcast was kind of put on hiatus through the pandemic. People are wondering, hey, is this coming back? And I should say that they focused on gambling, cigars, and alcohol, like cocktails and drinks and stuff like that. It was a show that I looked forward to every week. I know a lot of people were with me there and enjoying these little easily consumable episodes on these things that I enjoyed. I spoke to Jason while I was in Vegas. I don't know where it is on the horizon, but it's on the horizon, and I'm looking forward to Vice Lounge coming back. Lastly, in the content space, Adam Bauer's newsletter. It's bi-weekly. It costs like a few bucks, I think, and it's great. I love getting it. I love reading it. I love the research that he puts into it. I love his determination to make it good. And you know, people have asked, why would you charge for a newsletter? Well, one, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth paying a couple dollars to get well researched and curated content that's informative. There's plenty of studies that prove that when you pay for something, you take it more seriously. And so I think that just the psychology around it's worth paying the cup of coffee to get a couple newsletters a month about Vegas. And I don't know, keeps me excited about Vegas in a couple years where Vegas was less exciting. So But the content, the community, the content in gambling, period. By the way, if I didn't mention the show, it's not a slight. I don't have the time. I don't have time to cover every podcast or every bit of content's going on out there. The vlogs are doing well. Shout out to Julian from Vegas Confessions, Penny. I'm enjoying the vlogging that's happening in the Vegas space as well. I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth there. I think there's a lot of opportunity for content that isn't just, and this isn't a slight. No one takes this the wrong way. What I'm saying is the opportunity for growth here, I think, is building on top of these walkthroughs, these room previews, stuff like that. That stuff is going well now, and I think we can only grow from there, getting more into covering what's happening in the gambling community, in these casino getaways, not just Vegas, but other towns. Video definitely is a space where this community, I think, can really grow into, and a space that, obviously sports betting is growing, but I think casino gaming, can as well. Okay. Looking at myself as a gambler, now that I'm back in casinos, now that, I've been betting on sports for a while now, of course, but now that, that has settled in, it's been about 6 months since Virginia went live with operators. So as I was sitting down thinking about this, thinking about myself as a gambler and as a bettor, I started looking at a couple things. The first thing was sports betting, right? That's the thing that I do, that I probably do most often. Obviously, it's a daily occurrence for me. I currently have FanDuel, BetMGM, DraftKings, BetRivers, and WinBet on my phone. Those are five of the current seven operators here in Virginia. I don't think I've used FanDuel in months. I'm not too impressed with WinBet. I just recently used it for the $500 risk-free bet promo. I find myself using DraftKings most often, with BetRivers and BetMGM shortly behind that, and that's specifically to the markets in which I am betting. I still need to get William Hill and Unibet. Those are the two operators that I have not gotten into. I know William Hill offers a couple markets that I can't find otherwise, particularly future markets for certain leagues that that aren't represented other places. Unibet, I don't imagine really using much past getting the promo, but we'll see what they have to offer. But at this point in the year, it's time to start evaluating preseason rankings and priors for the leagues that are coming in the fall. This is where I am as a sports bettor right now. The English Football League just starts in August. The NFL starts in September. And one way to be successful early on in a season, is to have well-developed priors going into a league. You can take advantage of mispricings based off of limited information early on in a season. And it's worth sitting down, taking a day, being like, okay, this is the markets, these are the leagues that I bet on, and here's sort of what my feelings are on these players, these teams, etc. It can be as robust as you want, it can be as simple as you want, but it's good to have that frame of reference when you start going into those first lines as they open up in the first few weeks. Something else I'm doing is evaluating my bankroll and bet size for each league and market. This is one of the biggest, I think, developments that I've had as a sports bettor in the past year. Two things, actually. The first being, my future bets have become flat, like one unit flat bets. And what I mean by that is, so often, I mean, like for like a better part of a decade, if I made a future bet, it would be a fraction of what a normal bet size would be, right? So if a normal bet size, let's say was $50, I might make a future for like $10 or $20. I've gotten to a point where I feel comfortable and confident in the bets that I'm making in these future markets, that I actually the same one unit flat bets that I'm making on standard bets throughout across the markets, I'm also making in futures bets. That's just based off of success that I've had, obviously, with some of these markets and just my confidence and my, and I built a bankroll that could withstand, doing that, even a negative variance. So that's, I'm fortunate to be in that, that position. And then another development is properly evaluating my, where I feel like my edge is in which markets and being able to adjust my bet size based off of sport and market. This is, I believe, okay, people talk about closing line value. Yeah, big, that's, that is important. Closing line value is important. I've mentioned this a couple times to Gil, my good friend Gil Alexander, a few times in recent history, in the past like 5 years, I've brought it up to him, and each time he's like, yep, that's the number one, that's that, that is one of the toughest things, is evaluating what your edge is and adjusting your bet size accordingly. And it takes a long time. It takes really understanding a market. It takes being able to recognize when something isn't working and either getting off of that market or reducing a bet size or waiting for a better number, whatever it may be. But I have gotten to the point where and we all know that soccer is my deal, a standard soccer bet is my one unit bet. That is like sort of the baseline. And what I mean by that is generally pretty much any league in the world, if I make a bet, that is, I make my flat bet. What I decide my one unit flat bet is. Non-soccer bets, in other leagues are about a half a unit, right? So right now, if I make anything that's in NBA or MLB, NHL, those are half units, right? Those are half of what I would generally place like on a soccer match, simply because I'm less informed. Those markets are more efficient. I know that they are. Those are half unit bets for me. And then I have special leagues and markets. These are currently, this would be like USL. In the fall, this would be like NFL player props, where I am betting 2 to 3 units, on that bet. And I know it seems like a big jump, but these are markets that I've identified. I know when to get ahead of these markets. I know that these markets are still inefficient. And I feel like I am most informed on these markets. And so, I've gotten to a place where, and I very rarely waver from this. This is exactly how, so if I'm making a bet, let's say in Brazilian soccer, boom, one unit bet, in that same session, handicapping, right? I have all the sports books up. I'm gonna put a bet here on the Padres. That's a half unit bet. And then I'll go into USL, find a lines will open, boom, 3 unit bet on that line because I know it's soft. I've got now, you know, what that unit size is based off of my current bankroll and my level of risk tolerance. And so now that we're halfway through the summer and we're going into the fall, I am looking to reassess where I am and what that flat unit looks like, that flat one unit looks like, so that way I can I can properly place that and then adjust the half units and multi units accordingly. And part of the evaluation that goes into that is how likely am I to make some of these higher unit bets? Because if I'm going to make quite a few of those, then I want to make sure that my flat unit bet is modest. That way, as I do find opportunity, I'm not overexposing myself. If that makes sense. Casino gaming. Man, I'm so glad to be casino. I'm playing games in the casino again. Doing these Patreon shorts just makes me wish I was sitting in a casino every day, playing craps and Pai Gow and blackjack and roulette and, oh man, casinos. What first evaluation? What's my status? Where's my status? I have one significant status in casino gaming right now. It is I am a gold M Life member. I got that actually through, I believe I got my, I got gold through status matching. I kept it a couple years ago because they lowered the bar on what you needed to maintain it, and I got there, and then they've held it through the entire pandemic, and then now I'm actually going to be maintaining my gold MLI status through play alone, play and spend, I should say, play and property spend. I am going to hit gold status. And then I wonder, do I want platinum? Is that something that I want in M Life? And I'm not going to go through the entire M Life reward system, but the two things that I looked at, and this is what I think gamblers should be doing when they have statuses, and you're looking at either maintaining your status or upgrading it. Of course, you want to look at like what's being offered at your local casino, right? And so for me, the first place I looked was MGM National Harbor, right? Like, what do I get there based off the statuses? Well, there isn't a whole lot. The only difference, though, is when they offer free play, and this was the big pro on trying to get at the platinum. When they offer free play through marketed promotions, they often offer higher amounts based off of tier. And an example of that is when they have these monthly promotions. They call it Wheel of Winners or something like that. And you come in, and if you don't have any status, you have to like play a little bit, and then you get an opportunity to play this Wheel of Winners game at the kiosk. But if you do have status, if you have, I believe, Pearl or anything above that, you walk in and you just swipe at the kiosk, get your free play. And I'm confident that depending on where you are in the tier status, the floor of your possible free play through that game is higher. And so that's really the only benefit for me anyways. I mean, what everybody wants out of their casino gaming and hotels and everything benefits is different. But for me, that's all I could really find. So then you look at Vegas. What is, so when you're, you know, evaluating a benefits program, a player's reward program, you know, obviously, what do I get locally? And then if it's a program that's also available in Vegas, how does tier impact me there? And there's room upgrades. There's a percent change in like the amount of points you get for play, stuff like that. But nothing really drastically. And the difference is it takes about three times as many points to get platinum as it does than it does to get gold. And where I am, I haven't gotten to re-upping gold quite yet, but I am really close. And with half of the year left, I'm confident I'll get there. But I don't think I'm going to try to do much with play or spend anyhow to try to get through that platinum. Now, I guess the one thing that is nice is you often get parking, especially like here at MGM National Harbor, Beau Rivage, other properties. When you have platinum, you usually get better parking spots relative to the casino. That is convenient, but not something I need to overplay or overspend to get. So I think I'm comfy there. So then I look where else in my area do I care to play? I think I'm going to start playing a little bit more at Hollywood in West Virginia, in Charlestown, West Virginia. I'd played there a little bit going into the legalization of sports betting because West Virginia was way ahead of DC or Virginia, places in my area. It was the closest casino in which I could get, which I could bet on sports. I would often go out there to do so. And when I was out there, I'd play. And then now that that has dwindled, not dwindled, but now that that's no longer the case, I can bet on sports right from my couch. Do I want to play up there? And I think the better question is, do I want to play up there more than or rather than playing at, let's say, Horseshoe Baltimore, which is a Caesars property? And honestly, I think the answer is yes. A lot of people I know are jumping ship from the Caesars Rewards program. We don't feel like we're being delivered to. I agree. There's isn't quite as much to bank on there. Free resort fees, sure, if you get diamond status. But Horseshoe Baltimore does sort of throw out the free reward credits on visit, and it's usually enough to maybe get a meal or something like that. So I guess there is a benefit there. But am I really going to go up there enough to make that worth it? I think I'm going to try out Hollywood and try to get a little bit more into the My Choice ecosystem. Not for really any reason on travel. Like, I don't really see myself going to Tropicana, the M, right? These are places that I've been to, but I'm not really, you know, Boomtown and Biloxi. And then, of course, you have the Hollywood casinos. But the one thing that I think I can get out of Hollywood, specifically Hollywood in Charlestown, West Virginia, is with some pretty modest regular play comes some pretty attracting comps, just with free play, free rooms, and meal credits. And even if it's only something I take advantage of once every couple months, it may be worth keeping that sort of relationship alive with no real status, to be honest. There's not a tier level that I think I need to be at to do that. I think just getting normal play in there will get me that. But that's looking at casino gaming locally. That's sort of what I figured out. And then I think, now that travel's a thing again, where do I want to visit? Where do I want to go? I'd love to return to Biloxi. I really think, as exciting as Vegas is for a number of reasons, as awesome as it is that that's an option again, I really think my favorite gambling destination is Biloxi. And I'd like to get down there again. There's a good chance that I try to do that again before the end of the year. There's a good chance that if the Better Life ever does a meetup, that Biloxi is an option, .. And so I'm hoping to get down to Biloxi again. The room at Beau Rivage was amazing. I enjoy a lot of the properties down there. And even though it's not as condensed as Atlantic City or Vegas, as far as like casinos being in one area, it's not difficult to get from casino to casino. I'd like to try out some more casinos in Iowa. Iowa's only a destination for me because I have family in that state, but there's a lot of smaller local casinos in that area, and I'd really like to just sort of see how they look region to region in the state of Iowa. I've been to the Council Bluffs one. I've been up to the one near Sioux Falls, but I haven't really been to any other casinos in Iowa, and I kind of want to give them a shot. I want to see what they're like. I want to see if there's an opportunity to have a relationship with one there that I can take advantage of on trips to the Midwest to visit family and see what those are. I'm interested in seeing what they have to offer there, especially since Iowa is one of the better states for sports betting. They even have operators like PointsBet and Circa, I believe, that we don't have here yet in Virginia. So I want to check out them. Speaking of meetups, I think Vegas Vacation 10 proved that people are ready. That people are ready for community meetups. I know that Zorkfest Lite is being worked on. Michael Traeger has dropped that in his Facebook group a number of times. I am looking forward to that. I plan on being there. I know the word Gamblepalooza starts floating around in people's minds when we're thinking meetups. I don't know what Vito's plans are for that, but I think that that is something that I think that's something we could try to consider for next year. But meetups are I think it's time for meetups again. People look like they're comfortable. People look like they're willing to go to these again. Vegas Vacation 10 great proved that. Better Life meetup, possibly a day meetup, TBD. Possibly a one-day meetup. Probably do something locally first to sort of feel it out and then see if there's something later down the road that might be a multi-day meetup. So we shall see. My Vegas trips right now consist of, like I said, Zorkfest Lite in December. Looking forward to that. I plan on being out there in October for G2E, first full week of October. And I'd like to get out there to register for the Circa Survivor. I need to do that before the NFL season starts. I just don't know if I'll have the opportunity to. I was hoping to do it while I was there for Vegas Vacation 10. I just ended up not having any stinking time. And I didn't properly plan when I might have that opportunity. So I did not sign up for it. I would like to, though. Circa Survivor, Fun contest. You pick an NFL team the week to win every week, and you can't use the same team twice in the season. So I'm hoping to get to Vegas, if even for just a couple days, just so I can register for that. But we shall see. But right now, December and October, the only two Vegas trips I have circled on my calendar. And then looking at all of this, looking at the Better Life as a brand, looking at sports betting and casino gaming and meetups and Vegas trips and all that sort of stuff, looking like what part of this experience can I improve on? What can I do better as a gambler? I'm almost embarrassed to say, but I think people would understand. I kind of stopped tracking my betting. Not gonna lie, because the casino gaming tracking fell off first quickly. And then even with the sports betting, there's one or two leagues that I'm pretty good at keeping up on, but, I will admit I have rationalized being too busy to do so, but, what gets measured gets managed, and I need to do better on tracking my sports betting as well. But specifically, casino gaming is something that I, starting today, July 1st, will get back to doing more regularly and more consistently, tracking buy-ins, cash-outs, free play. That's basically it. I mean, I know some people that kind of get into tracking more nuanced things like dealer mistakes and such, but I think I'm just going to make sure that I'm tracking what I'm buying in for, what I'm cashing out for, what I played, and then of course tracking my free play, free bet, stuff like that I'm getting from the casino as well, so I can measure that value. But that's it. That is sort of the state of the Better Life. I hope everybody is doing a similar exercise in looking at their lives as a gambler, as a bettor, as a casino enthusiast, and figuring out what is worth investing time into, what is worth investing money into, what is worth, what are some things you want to make sure you get done this year now that things are opening up. And look, I don't want to be too pessimistic, but this variant stuff worries me. I would not, if you have an opportunity to do something this year, I would do it. Because who knows, how any COVID variants, shake up reality again. So take the opportunities that you can, and stay safe while you're out there and while you're doing it. Oh, and I do suppose there's one more development in the Better Life that I am working on. It's a slow development, admittedly, but, I guess there's two. I will admit to two of these things, because I think if I say them now in the ether, I'll hold myself more accountable to get this done. The first is I am working on a fictional audio story. Just a five minute run. That I'm writing, that I plan on including like sound and guest voices and stuff like that too. That is something that I've been working on for the better part of the year. I'm embarrassed to say why it hasn't gone to come to fruition, largely because I can't find the file that the last script was written on. That is something that I am working on, and I'm hoping to actually start making moves on towards producing soon. The other is an idea called BetterBox. We all know about Better Santa, where for a one-time cost, I put in a handful of little gambling-themed items for around Christmas time. BetterBox would be the similar idea, only a quarterly box. And it would come with a number of items, either Better Life merchandise, casino gaming items, collectibles, souvenirs, glassware for things around the Better Life, like glassware, stuff like that. I'm still developing this to make sure that it's one, worth it for me, and two, worth it for consumers, for people who would want to partake in this. But that is something that I am working on as well. So I'm hoping to get a test box out to Patreon people at the Better Box Pledge this quarter. Then of course we'll do a fourth quarter with Better Santa again as well. Speaking of Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can support the show with a monthly pledge. Any pledge amount gives you access to the Patreon shorts. This week we're talking about PyGow. Not that I need to really convince too many people to play PyGow, because I know it's a popular game in this community, but in case you are a holdout or haven't played it yet, here is my case for why you should consider PyGow Poker. I like that music. Even I know it's different than the normal podcast music, but I still dig it. Okay, this week we're going to talk about PyGow Poker, to be specific. And this is my case for PyGow. Now, I know I don't have to make this case too strongly, because PyGow is a pretty widely accepted game in this community, but as I learned at Vegas Vacation 10 and through other conversations, there's some of you who still don't play it, either because you don't understand it or you just haven't been compelled to. So here's my case for PyGow Poker, and it's really based on just a couple things. The first is it can be a nice marathon game. And I do say can be because I recognize that in this community, we embellish the probability of a push probably a little too much. It's been pointed out to me that pushes don't happen nearly as often as we say they do, and those people are right. It's not a matter of not understanding the game properly, but rather, if you play the game enough, you will encounter a session in which more hands than not will just be pushes. And that's where our adage of drink and push come from, is if you're in a casino in which drinks are comped, you can find yourself in a nice session where you are just drinking the free drinks and pushing your hands. Now, the other part of the marathon, so to speak, the longer part of the game, not only is from hand to hand can be longer, like in a full session, because you're pushing, like you're extending your bankroll, but the hands themselves can take a little bit longer because there's decisions to be made. Every player, every hand is dealt out, and if a player is there, they pick up their hand, and you make your decision with your 5-card hand and your 2-card hand. There are some people, but like there's many of us that look at our hand, boom, boom, boom. Okay, I know what this is. Let me set it. Sometimes there are decisions to be made. Sometimes someone needs help from the dealer and can ask for some help there for houseway or whatever it may be. Even if you're in a losing session, that can also prolong the game and allow you to stay at the seat. My second case is it is a very fun game in a group. I would say it's probably my... It might be the best social game in the casino. Now, everybody with that loves craps, of course, is maybe turning up their volume a little bit to be like, what is he talking about? But you actually get to be social at a PyGow table. At the craps table, it can be difficult because you're trying to bounce back and forth between talking and following the dice roll, making your bet, stuff like that. Craps is a fun social game, and that is a fun game to experience is, there's a lot of camaraderie in the experience. Where in PyGow, you don't necessarily win just because someone else won. If the dealer has PyGow, right, a queen high PyGow or something like that, that can sometimes be the case. But it is a great social game in the sense that you can often get like good conversations going while playing the game and not really distracting from either. So it's a really great group game, especially in normal times when you can get 6 people at a table. It could be a lot of fun. I guess I do have a third point here. My third point would be that the game is tactile. You can interact with the cards, and I think that PyGal allowing you to interact with the cards even more so than a pitch game in blackjack makes it feel most like a game out of all the games that I play at the casino. Obviously you're playing all of them, right? They are games, but like when it comes to the satisfaction of quote unquote playing a game, being dealt the cards, picking up the cards, sort of keeping your cards to yourself, making a decision. Now there is optimal strategy, but sometimes, you know, you are making a decision based on how, you know, what you want to do in that particular hand. And it feels like you're actually playing a game through interacting with the cards and the decision that's being made. So there's my case for PyGal. If you've never played, I highly recommend it. It is probably going to be a little more on the expensive side at most casinos. You're probably going to be playing a $25 table at most casinos. If you go to places like Biloxi, if you go to smaller casinos, you can find PyGal for much cheaper. I've played as little as $5 in Biloxi. I've played as little as $5 in Iowa. But in my neighborhood here in the D.C. area, out in Vegas, Atlantic City, PyGal is going to be $15 to $25. It's going to be a little more expensive. So that is something to keep in mind. So great group and social gaming can be a really great marathon game, and it truly feels like you're playing a game through holding the cards and making decisions. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow morning, finally getting back on track with the morning releases. I appreciate everybody's patience. I got a little bit behind, and then between Vegas and apparently life doesn't slow down for a couple of days when you get back from Vegas to let you like catch up on things. But tomorrow morning, back with more PyGal, back with the morning releases. Hope everybody will join us on Friday for the stream. Remember, $1, I will donate $1 for every new follower I get on social media, and $2 for every viewer that I get in the live stream. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all at The Better Life. So appreciate everybody's support here on Patreon. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. All right. That will do it. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with me. I hope you enjoyed some part of this monologue. Coming back next week with Mark Duvall for another Better Viewing episode. We are going to be watching Lay the Favorite and California Split, two movies that came by request through the Better Viewing form. If you want to submit requests for either movies or TV shows, even if it's just a scene, doesn't have to be a whole thing, even if it's just a scene, go to thebetterlife.us/betterviewing, all one word, use the form there to submit something. I hope to see everybody on the live stream tomorrow night. Follow us on Twitter at The Better Life for updates on Nat as we hammer out the final schedule, but I'm looking forward to chatting with everybody. Hope everybody has a safe and fun Independence Day weekend. Please be careful of fireworks. Do not catch the rest of this country on fire. Good luck with all of your bets this weekend. Good night and good luck.